He is a wonderful guy.
He loves Cafe Strada as much, if not more, than I do. I actually envy his love for the cafe there. And people would describe him as a true Renaissance man. And above all of that, he's from Italy. A man that needs no introduction. He's in the NFL. He's playing for the Oakland Raiders. Give it up for Giorgio Tavecchio.
As usual, Justin exaggerates. He's been, you know, he tells people he goes to my high school. I tell that people that I went to his high school. That's how much I hold you in regard. But Maddie, that was very touching. A lot of what you said was very relatable to some of the things I want to speak on tonight. And the beautiful thing with sharing and being vulnerable is that the context may be different, but the patterns tend to be the same, right? We have this image, we have this ideal that we feel like we have to fulfill. But the reality, a lot of times, is far from that. It's when we be honest with ourselves that we realize we're just like everyone else. We're all struggling in something in our lives. And really, the one rock we can all stand on is Jesus. Brooke mentioned that you guys have been covering, I think it was Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. You know, the idea of image, right? That, you know, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So as I was reflecting on this, speak louder. Sorry. Should I use the mic? I talk a lot with my hands. Okay, fine. I'll try to sing from here. I'll give it my best shot. Please let me know if it gets too loud or if I go on for too long. So when I was reflecting on this, thinking about what is an image, right? We were created in the image of God. What is an image? And when I started to reflect on it, and I think part of what I'm going to talk about today is a reflection on this and then a little bit of my testimony as well. I feel like image is a form of identity. It's like a label, and I'll circle back to that. But a little bit about myself. I was born in Italy, bounced around a bunch as a kid. Carla, Forza Italia. bounced around a bunch as a kid, ended up in the Bay Area. I claim the Bay Area to be home, really. Been here for the longest time I've been in one place in my life. Was a soccer player growing up. I thought I was going to go to college to play soccer. Randomly started kicking footballs in high school just to go to the team barbecues after practice, which were delicious. But you know, I got halfway decent, but I was still much more focused on soccer. And I got recruited to play soccer at UC Davis. You know, as a walk-on, I wasn't the next Ronaldo or anything, but I thought it was going to work out. And then May 28th, 4:01 p.m. of my senior year, so I graduated high school 2-3 weeks later, I got a call from Cal. I remember the date and the time. I was sitting in my mother's room watching TV. It was a special teams coach. Said, hey, we have a last-minute walk-on spot if you're interested. And I said, sure. So I showed up the first day of school because they already had too many players on the team for training camp, and I ended up playing in the first game. Had no business being out there, got benched at halftime, ended up playing a lot my freshman year and kind of played for 4 years. And it was an unbelievable ride. I feel like, and I know God had something to do with this, but I quote Tupac anyways, that I didn't feel like I chose the football life. The football life kind of chose me. So I was picked up wearing short shorts with long curly hair in high school and just dropped off, kicking off against Michigan State in front of 80,000 people. I actually almost got a penalty on the opening kickoff because I didn't hear the whistle. So I was just kind of sitting there looking around, and I looked to the sideline and all the coaches are like, hurry up, go, go, go. So I had no business being out there. And why I bring that up is because I'm very much a people pleaser. And as soon as I was put into that context of being a part of a football team and wanting to give to my teammates, I'm not ashamed to say I was pretty terrified to be out there. Like, you know, we have some football players here. We got a, you know, some linebackers, some linemen, some tough guys. And then there's me, the kicker. Like, the worst feeling is when you don't do your job, you miss a kick, or you feel like you cost the team something. The one chance you had to help out, and you look over and these guys are sweating, they're bloody, and I got to walk off the field with a nice clean jersey and drink my water and just kind of sit there and watch them battle. That's the worst, worst feeling in the world. And I struggled with that fear of failure, fear of letting my team down. And it was something that just destroyed me, destroyed my confidence, made me very self-conscious everywhere I went. And, you know, really, as a kicker, it felt like my field goal percentage, which is really my lifeline, was like a flashing neon sign above my head. Like, I couldn't escape it. Everywhere I went, everyone I talked to, in my mind, they knew exactly how well I did. They knew exactly how poorly I did, if that was the case. And it was just something I couldn't escape. So to me, that was my image. That was where, I think for the first couple years here in Cal, that's where I rooted my self-worth. Kind of like, Maddie, what you were saying, you know, about your self-worth being and if guys liked you and, you know, what you look like, all that stuff. For me, it was just that flashing neon sign. Did I perform well on Saturday or did I choke? And it was very difficult to deal with that because you submit yourself to the outcomes, to the results, and you don't, that it's very fickle. It was very fleeting. And that became my identity, right? It was just a label that really didn't tell anybody about who I really was. It was just, this is what I did on Saturdays, and if it went great, I felt good about myself. If it didn't, I wanted to hide in a corner. You know, but that can take the shape of, you know, whether it's a sports, like, you know, the position you play, your academic passions. That neon sign for you can be your GPA. You know, if you're a swimmer, it can be your 100 meter backstroke. I'm just making up. Is that a stroke? Yeah, sorry, I don't screw that. Sorry. You know, if you're a basketball player, how many rebounds you get, if you're on scholarship, if you're not on scholarship, you know, the clothes you wear, the title of your first job, all these are like images or labels, things that we worship in a way. And I remember the image when I was sitting in these same chairs that I would grapple with the most, that neon sign, was also the legacy that I would leave when I graduated. You know, I wanted desperately to be remembered as a great kicker, desperately wanted to be remembered as someone who was successful, you know, and that, again, that idea of legacy was a form of image, was a form of, again, I always use the word neon sign because that's just really relevant for me, because it was like a desperate plea to be remembered as good, to be identified with success. And you know, even now, I kind of struggle with that at times, where you just feel like you're wearing your success, your field goal percentage on your sleeves. But why I bring that up is because, I don't know about you guys, but that field goal percentage never felt good enough. Those results, never good enough. You know, first 2 years I was a walk-on, ended up playing a lot, did pretty well, wasn't good enough. I was put on scholarship and got a Vespa. That was one of my goals. You know, I lived at home my sophomore year. My goal was to, you know, find an apartment that was affordable back on campus. I did that. It was never good enough. You know, I had a great senior year. I think broke a few records maybe. I don't know. I think Matt Anderson destroyed them all, but good for him. You know, never was good enough. So the one moment where I think that changed was around my junior year. We were having an up and down year, but we played University of Oregon. They were ranked number 2 in the country at the time. And in this game, I kind of came face to face with what that neon sign represented for me and how I needed to change that. It really came down to, it was a close game. We went back and forth, and I missed a kick at the beginning of the fourth quarter. It was a 29-yard field goal that I should have made, went right over the upright, but the ref called it out. I missed it, and we ended up losing the game by 2 points. The score didn't change throughout the fourth quarter. And I got a lot of blame for the loss, and our season ended poorly after that. But I remember sitting in the locker room, like I said earlier, looking at my teammates, and I was just livid. I was so livid. It's like I didn't have to lift more weights to make a short kick. That's not a very far distance. I didn't have to work harder in practice. I didn't have to kick more balls. I didn't have to like run more sprints. It was just, I just couldn't grab it, you know? I couldn't quite grab what more I had to do. And it's in that moment that I realized that neon sign is never going to be good enough. I'm chasing the wrong things, basically. Chasing the wrong things. I have the wrong image that I'm seeking, that I'm trying to fulfill, that will never be good enough in this life or the next. So what I was reflecting on after that point was, you know, why don't I make that the image of Christ? Why don't I use whatever comes my way, good, bad, or ugly, as an opportunity to deepen my relationship? Because a lot of times, you find more growth when you're going through tough times. They say shit is a great fertilizer, you know? Sorry. So it was from that moment where I tried to change that perspective, change the image that I was chasing, and that changed my relationship with football, changed my relationship with my teammates, changed my relationship with my family, changed my relationship with myself, and allowed me to grow from whatever came my way. And I think from that change, that was my junior year, my senior year, I kicked great, and I was just like, I got into college from high school, it was the same kind of leap to the NFL. I was a no-name guy, not really no-name, I was just left-footed. There aren't many left-footed kickers in the NFL. Sorry, Chris. And I was, you know, last-minute signed to the 49ers, was in training camp with them in 2012, training camp with the Packers 2013, training camp with the Lions in 2014. The past 3 years, I've been with the Raiders. In all these situations, I'll be signed in January, work out all off-season, play a couple games in the preseason, go through training camp, and get cut right before the season begins. and go through that same process five, this was my sixth time going through it this past summer. But you don't make much money until you make it in the regular season. So financially wasn't the greatest life plan. I don't suggest it. And also emotionally, you know, it's like in a healthy relationship, you know, you love, you give, and you get cut. And I'm the type of person that, like, I'd always blame myself. Like, what did I do wrong? You know, it's my fault. It's not her fault. I did it. It was on me. So it was an unhealthy relationship in that way. And I found myself kind of going back to that image of like success being this kind of static label, this destination that I had to reach, instead of that relationship with myself that had Jesus at the center, that had my deepening of a relationship with Christ at the center of what I was doing and what I was experiencing. So this summer that changed a little bit. You know, I decided to give it one last go and just say, you know what, God, if it's in your plans for it to work out, it's going to work out. And it kind of did. It did. And I really don't have an explanation for it. I sometimes struggle even to talk about my story, because I can't describe my story without his story being a part of it. You know, I think it's in that kind of giving up of myself that Christ has poured in like discipline, the commitment, the desire, the perseverance, the faith, maybe the stubbornness to continue on training even when I get cut, even when I'm not receiving phone calls from teams in the fall, even when I don't think anyone's going to re-sign me, even when I don't think there's a chance really that a team wants me or is going to make a change. So I'm challenging myself to keep that perspective, right? To keep the right image that I chase through the good, the bad, the ugly, right? Right now I'm blessed with a period of time where there's been a little bit of success. And I want to make sure that I can keep that image, that neon sign, on the right things. Things that are eternal. Things that won't change over time. Because no one's going to care about my field goal percentage in 30 years. You know, I'm sorry. No one's going to care about your GPA after your first job or two. So don't worry too much about it now. You know, no one's going to care how many games you started in college. It might matter to you, but over time, these things fade. What doesn't fade is that eternal love that Christ is for us. So what would it look like for us, for myself included, and this is not just preaching because I got to do this myself. What would it look like for us, you know, if we wore Christ on our sleeve? If Christ was that neon sign, how would we act? Who would we be to those around us? And I think that's what it comes down to. Once you change that perspective with the image that you're seeking, that you're chasing, that will change you internally and will open you to the graces that Christ wants to pour into us, right? So let's choose the image that chose us, because God created us in his image. He chose us, the image that is eternal, the only image that tells us that we are good enough, right? I told you, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I never felt like my success was good enough. Well, I'm here to tell you that that's not the case if you put your hope in Christ, if you follow that image. And that's all I have for you tonight. I don't want to be a little quick. I know I ramble. Is there any questions that I can answer before I hand the mic off? Awesome. It means a lot for me to be here. Sorry. Go ahead, Justin.
What's been the toughest challenge for you personally during that time of 5 years where you were getting calls and then you were getting cut? Like, other than the struggle emotionally, like, could you tell us a little bit more about what kind of you were going through?
Sure. Justin was asking what I was going through in those 5 years where I'd get cut and get re-signed. Basically, I'd spend four or five months without a team. Honestly, I ask myself this all the time. Was I running away from real life or was I chasing the dream? I think it was a little bit of both. But there was something in my heart that just wouldn't let me give up. And I think that that was just, again, the grace of God that just kept pouring into my heart, that he developed this passion for kicking within me. I always felt like there was a reason why I was picked up from soccer and just dropped into football. And I looked back at my journey and felt like these things just don't happen. There has to be a bigger reason for this. So let me try to live this out and be a platform to kind of let God work through my heart, whatever's supposed to happen. And I felt like at the time, all those 5 years, that included staying in football for the time being until it was blatantly clear that it was time to move on. So there was just a determination to stay committed to what I felt called to do. Go ahead, Garrett.
As you started seeing some success this year, mm-hmm. Did you have to remind yourself, like, stick to your roots kind of thing, or were you just so grateful to have the opportunity and to be that, like, to have the success, that it was easy to stay in the mindset of, like, following Christ, using your image in that way, or was there struggles in that success coming up?
Sure. Garrett asked if there were struggles with the success that was from having played finally in the regular season. A little bit, but honestly, my heart is so rooted in humility, and maybe that's prideful that I say that, so I don't know. It's an oxymoronic statement. But, you know, really, what I felt all season, Garrett, was just this deep gratitude, this unbelievable gratitude. Whether good game or bad game, it was so cool that I was able to experience what I was able to experience. And, you know, you understand, as a specialist, it's not a very comfortable place to be. So it's not like when I walk on the field, it's like, this is awesome, this is so cool, it's going to go great. You know, it's just like, okay, I got to do my job, and everybody knows if it's in or it's out. You know, I feel like I live on the edge of a sword. So it's easy to keep that edge, to keep that chip on your shoulder, to keep that spiritual dependence, because you have so little control for someone who plays kicker, or, you know, in just football in general. You don't have much control over your destiny, your outcome. So you rely a lot on your teammates, and for people like us, I think we rely a lot on Christ, which makes it easy to be humble. Easier, maybe. Keep me accountable. If you see something that changes things, yeah. I mean, I don't have Instagram, I don't have Twitter, so that makes that easier. But if you hear anything, cut me down. It's okay. It's okay. Anybody else? Cool. Like I said, it means a lot. I sat in those chairs all the time, and it means a lot to me to be able to share my heart, you know? Because a lot of it was developed here, and, you know, Cal still means a lot to me, and being able to... This is an example of the impact that people can have on your lives, and that's why I never feel like I did this journey alone. I had a lot of people with me. And to see the impact that they've had on my life, and the impact that I get to have on the lives of others, that's special. That's probably the most special thing. And we each have that opportunity in our own right. Go ahead, Seth. How can you pray for me? Just for discernment, for clarity, for strength, for peace. I'm going through a period of growth, of transition. This is my first real off season after my first real season. I want to be a good steward of that experience, a good steward of the blessings from this year, so that I can keep serving moving forward. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you.